This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. June is Pride Month in Philadelphia. Pride Day is this Sunday, featuring the Pride Parade and the Pride Festival. That is a lot of pride in a city that's LGBTQ community has been rubbing up abrasively against itself in some ways. Amber Hikes joins us this morning to flesh out what I'm talking about. Hikes is the head of the Office of LGBT Affairs in Philadelphia. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again, Jennifer. It's good
Absolutely.
To see you.
Absolutely. You took over the office this year after months of agitation in the city's gayborhood, brought on by accusations of racism at certain clubs and other establishments. Where are we with that chapter now?
I'll start by saying the Philadelphia Commission on Human Relations, who my office works very closely with, they have conducted the trainings that they set out to conduct with all bars and organizations in our Philadelphia neighborhood. So those trainings have been conducted over the last several months, and I was fortunate to actually join Rue Landau, who's the executive director over there, and her team for one of the larger trainings. There's a training on implicit bias, and that is really where I saw some change happen and some difficult conversations happen, which I'm always excited to see. We saw bar owners and bar managers and bartenders really talking about some implicit bias that they do have, admitting to that, and really challenging themselves and each other on how to move past these ideas that certainly we're not born with, but that really were indoctrinated with over some time. There was a lot of change that happened that night, and I see these conversations continuing to happen. And we do have a long road to go, but we're certainly on the right path.
Last month, Amber, you witnessed the dismissal of the chair of Mayor Kenney's brand new commission on LGBT affairs. Sharon Cooks was voted out by commission members when allegations bubbled up that she was, in your words, I took this from a local article, lashing out at others with prejudiced, biphobic, and educationally elite attacks, end quote. Cooks was said to have targeted other commissioners on social media. What's going on here? What was going on?
So just to be clear, the commission did feel that some of the remarks that were taking place on social media were antithetical to the goals of the commission. And our work is to find ways to have difficult conversations, but also to unify this community moving forward. And the commission felt that in terms of Sharon being in a leadership capacity, that they did feel that some of the remarks you were saying were antithetical to how we wanted to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And Cooks is a transgender person of color. She was a delegate at the Democratic National Convention, and hers is likely to be a very important voice that rarely gets heard in the public realm. Is the commission's diversity of voices off balance in any way by her dismissal?
We've said, and the office has said as well, that we are committed to raising the voices of specifically marginalized populations. Trans people, people of color, and youth are the most important populations that I'm focusing on in terms of these marginalized voices. Certainly, with Sharon's departure from the commission, we do need a Black trans woman or trans woman of color to serve in that space, because it is important that we're having as many voices represented around the table. So we are committed to having another trans woman of color come onto the commission, and we are in process with that right now.
Okay. You've spoken publicly about profoundly complicated challenges the LGBTQ community faces. What key initiatives are you and the commission focused on right now? You just mentioned one, which would be trying to find ways to address the needs of the most vulnerable.
Yes, if we're talking about those vulnerable populations, one of the things that's at the top of my agenda once we get through Pride Month is going to be developing what I call a leadership pipeline. So this will be a way to pull in, again, those marginalized populations with specific emphasis on people of color and trans folks and youth, pull them in and have a workshop series that gives them skills and tangible resources so that they are able to streamline themselves onto boards and in our organization so that we can see that finally our leadership is representing the community that it serves, because that has been a large concern from my perspective and others in our community.
That's interesting. I've also heard you say that you'd love to increase competence in the city when it comes to LGBT issues, mm-hmm. and maybe even document the community, perhaps conducting a sort of LGBTQ census. Mm-hmm. What would data from that be used for?
There's so many things. I mean, when you think about it, we have census data for race and gender and age and socioeconomic status, but because of privacy issues, we don't have data on LGBT individuals. We don't have it on a federal level, and we certainly don't have it here in the city. And I say all the time, as a data nerd, as an ex-researcher, you don't know what you need as a community when you don't know the community.
Mm-hmm. Every year there's the flag raising of the LGBTQ flag at City Hall, and it commemorates Pride Month in June in Philadelphia. And this year, the raising of the flag raised questions because there's an addition to the flag, these two other stripes, one black, one brown, in addition to the rainbow colors. So this has really sparked some controversy.
I would say the most popular pushback has been that the rainbow flag already represents the whole community. So why would we be further divisive by adding black and brown stripes? That adding black and brown stripes creates more division
instead of unity,
which is what the rainbow flag was originally intended.
What do you think?
I think, and I can speak from a personal perspective, that I know many people of color who have felt discriminated against in this community, who have felt, again, largely ignored in our narratives as a community. I spoke at the flag raising about the history of Stonewall. When people tell that story, they say the community fought back. They don't speak about the fact that a trans woman of color threw the first bottle in the Stonewall riots. Trans women of color put themselves in front and said, we have to fight back. We have to do something. This stops here and this stops now. And we can't move forward in that context, especially in this city. Adding those stripes as we see you, we hear your concerns, and we support you. Now, what can we do?